Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
With Pacific Investment Management Company, PIMCO, Mohammed El-Erian. Dr. El-Erian, good morning.
Good morning.
It was a quiet weekend, except for a G8 photo op of a soccer game of Germany and Britain, which is just that, a photo op. Europe doesn't need a photo op right now. What does it need?
Yeah, you know, when you said at the top of the 8 a.m. hour that this was a non-news weekend, normally that's good news. Today, that's bad news. It's bad news because of two things. One is we had a big G8 summit and nothing came out of it. And second, last week, Europe took a turn for the worse in the sense that depositors started to get worried, especially in Greece, but also in some other countries. So it is an indication yet again that we are in the midst of what we've called policy and political confusion. As a result, you get policy incrementalism, which means too little, too late. And you get a higher risk of inflection points for the market. So this is going to be a very bumpy outlook. Bernanke is absolutely right when he calls it unusually uncertain.
Now, who was it who said what's happening in Greece is not a run on the banks, it's a jog on the banks?
Yeah, but the problem with jogs is that there's a famous line that somebody said that if you see a line forming outside a bank, join it. And if your money is not and if your money is not in that bank, go to where your money is and join the line over there. So you can't have jogs. You can't have, you know, jogs have a high risk of turning into bank runs, and that's why you need to stop them quickly.
Yeah. Well, there was one of the panics here in New York in the past. There was a run on a bank. Actually, the line was next door at a bakery that was having a sale, and people saw the line, thought it was a run on a bank. But, I mean, at what point does it become an actual run on Greek banks? And I guess, Mohammed, don't you have to wonder why it hasn't happened before?
Yeah, these things happen, Ken, in a very funny way. I remember in Argentina in 2001, the professionals were wondering, why is it that it's taking so long for an Argentine depositor to realize that their savings were at risk? And then suddenly, almost overnight, it started and people started getting worried. So these things tend to be very non-linear, and that's why when you get indications that they're starting to happen, you've got to stop them. And Europe has got to stop this quickly.
What should they do? If you were in charge in Europe, what should they do?
So there's some easy stuff to do and there's some hard stuff to do. The easy stuff to do is for the ECB to expand its emergency windows, for there to be a system-wide deposit insurance. The harder thing to do is to deal with the problem of Greece and deal with the exit risk that's starting to be priced everywhere. And the problem is we neither have a precedent nor a mechanism for a country exiting the Eurozone. But they've got to move. They've got to make this up as they go along and move quickly. Otherwise, this crisis will continue to get ahead of them.
Mohammed, you write on this almost daily through many different outlets. How has it changed investment at PIMCO? Just the general tug of events of the last 3 weeks, the last 6 weeks, how has it amended or adapted at PIMCO?
So we've been, as you know, quite consistent about be careful. There are big moving forces in the global economy. Parameters have become variable, and this is an unusually uncertain time. I think what's happening beyond PIMCO is people are starting to price in two additional risk premium that normally they don't focus on. So normally everybody is comfortable with this notion of a liquidity risk, of a term premium risk, of a credit risk. Now people are realizing that they have to price in a policy risk premium and a complexity risk premium. And these two things are adding to the volatility we're seeing.
Mohammed, you mentioned the complexity risk. There is a wonderful paper, I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, from Oxford and Harvey Mudd, on that if you have too many moving parts in a system, the system doesn't work. Is that the issue with Europe? There's just too many moving parts?
It's certainly one of the issues. There's also a design problem, and there's also a coordination problem. So you have too many moving pieces within the context of something that wasn't properly designed, and the parties can't coordinate enough to overcome the problems. And that is why Europe isn't going away. That is why we continuously see it as a driver of markets all over the world.
As a driver of markets and the complexity that's out there, the number of people within the Europe complexity, there's Germany, there's various institutions, there's the IMF. Which institution are you looking towards to jumpstart a solution?
So there are four different parties. First and most importantly, the populations, especially the populations in countries that are under tremendous stress, Greece being the lead example. Second are the private creditors. What we're seeing right now is money being taken out. So it's like sucking oxygen out of someone who is already having problems. Thirdly, there are the European partners. And finally, there's the IMF. So you have four different parties. Our image, Tom, is an orchestra that needs to play together, that needs a conductor. And right now, there isn't a conductor. Mm-hmm. So each part of this orchestra is playing its own music. And for anybody listening, it sounds very confusing and very complex.
Now, the dissonance of the markets, Ken. This headline just out from Bloomberg speaking to the challenges in Europe. CS Euro Real German Property Mutual Fund to be liquidated. I'm assuming, and just assuming, that CS there is for Credit Suisse. Euro Real, that's a mouthful, German Property Mutual Fund to be liquidated. Facebook moves to new weakness right now. 34.97 is the low, 30 seconds ago, Ken.
Part of the problem is we've been talking over this European situation. There doesn't seem to be a lot of leadership. I mean, Germany is kind of calling the shots here. But of all the possible players, shouldn't the International Monetary Fund be a little more prominent?
It should be more prominent, but it needs for that some real changes. So it's not legitimate enough in the eyes of the world. And secondly, the view, which I think is a correct view, is that they were overly influenced by European politics. So if you look at the design of the Greek program 2.5 years ago, most people looked at it and said, it doesn't make sense. It ain't going to happen. Okay, and yet the IMF continued dispersing. So yeah, they should, but they have legitimacy issues that stops them from being that. I think ultimately, Ken, it's Germany. Germany's got to take the lead. Hopefully can do that with three other countries that are key: France, Spain, and Italy. You need to see a group of four, Germany, France, Italy, and Spain, taking the leadership role and getting ahead of this crisis.
Well, Spain and Italy have their own problems.
They do, but they are integral to what I call a smaller and less imperfect Eurozone. Okay, so they've got to get on board. Already Italy is doing the right thing, and I think Mario Monti, the prime minister there, should get a lot of praise for what he's doing. I think Spain recognizes what they need to do, and I think the populations in both countries are willing to go forward. Very different from Greece, but they got to move quickly if they are to save the Eurozone and make it less imperfect.
Okay, so save the Eurozone in its present 17-nation form.
Not in a 17-nation form. Oh. In a smaller, less imperfect one. The current 17-nation one involves so many cross subsidies that ultimately populations will refuse.
Mohamed, I want to pin you down on the debate of the moment. Nora Rubini, as Martin Feldstein, suggesting the best of two lousy outcomes: Greece exit depreciates, but within their domestic economy, they can find growth rapidly. Many, including Eric Nielsen of UniCredit, are physical in their opposition to that idea, suggesting that is a small open economy, Greece will impute massive inflation to the Greek people. Who's right? What is your official view on whether Greece should exit?
So they're both right, and this is the irony.
Thank you. I agree with that. Folks, I never say this. I agree with what Dr. Ilarion just said.
Wow. Well, we might as well stop the interview here, Tom.
Well, so what? But what do we do if they're both right?
Well, what do we do both right is recognize, first and foremost, that a Greek exit will be expensive and messy. It's probably inevitable, and therefore we should plan for it. And plan for it is not just the Greek government planning for it, but the EU needs to find a way to allow Greece to exit the Eurozone but remain within the EU and at that point access funds in order to stabilize the situation. The worst thing, human beings hate when there is no first best. And right now, for Greece, there is no first best. Okay, they're looking at a series of fifth and sixth best, and it's exactly what you said. It's the least bad outcome. And they have to focus on which step allows them medium-term viability.
And I say this, I think of Albert Hourani in his one volume on Your Egypt. There's a point where when you come out of something, as Egypt did, say, in the very early part of the 20th century, you got to give people a reason to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. So do we tilt towards Rubini's depreciation or devaluation, because at least it gives domestically the Greek people that immediate growth spurt from tourism and service sector ideas at the expense of the institutions that own all the present paper?
Yeah, I think at some point you've got to make the distinction between the stock and the flow, right? The legacy issues are going to be there, but what you've got to promise the Greek population is the hope and hopefully the reality of things getting better within the next 3 to 5 years. And you can only do that through a fundamental change of the setup right now.
Let's take a look at that 10-year at 1.73%. Where is it by the end of the year?
So it's going to be somewhere between within, call it, 10 basis points on the downside and about 30 basis points on the upside. And the reality is that this 10-year is being pinned there by a few things. First, the likelihood that not only is the Fed going to stay where it is now in terms of rates and in terms of forward communication, but we may well get QE3. Second, the likelihood that the U.S. unfortunately will continue to face sluggish growth. And third, what we've been talking about, which is Europe remaining messy and therefore the U.S. attracting the flight to quality. So, you know, this is a situation where the 10-year is being anchored by these three things. And until one of these three things change, people are going to be surprised by how low 10-year interest rates are.
Dr. Alarian, thank you so much. Mohammed Alarian with PIMCO.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.